Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in. All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you're happy to find along via the Twitter machine, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. Remember, if you can't catch us live, we are available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free. While you're there, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars, write a little review, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. And for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. And don't forget to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ All Subjects Everything. There you will find show links, news and updates and reports of what we're working on. And we will be rolling out poll topics and questions soon that you guys can talk about amongst yourselves. We'll jump in every once in a while to, you know, keep the conversation rolling. And we will also, you know, that will help us develop a better show, was what I'm trying to say. Okay. Now we got the introduction out of the way. Let's talk about last night's rather tempestuous episode of the FX American Crime miniseries, The People vs. O.J. Simpson. So, we've got the jury picked. This episode really went inside, you know, the prosecution and the defense, you know, putting together, you know, their sides of the story, if you will. And this episode was really pretty much all about how Christopher Darden was a huckleberry for all parties involved. There's no other way to put it. The man was used by Marcia Clark because she needed a black guy on the prosecution, and Johnny Cochran exploited that fact to the fullest. Immediately. Like, as soon as Darden got up and started saying that Mark Furman would be alleged to have used the N-word and tried to ask Judge Ito not to use it, here comes Johnny Cochran, who absolutely deconstructed, you know, Darden's entire argument in a span of 15 seconds. I mean, of course, the speech went longer than that, but Cochran, you know, pretty much said, what is, you know, it's very disingenuous for Chris Darden to tell black people what word they can't handle. And then, to top it all off, Johnny Cochran, who's being played by Courtney B. Vance. By the way, let's just give Courtney B. Vance the Emmy. Don't need to see nobody else. Don't need to hear nobody else. Don't give a damn what other TV show was coming down the pike. Courtney B. Vance should be the Emmy winner for his portrayal of the late Johnny Cochran. And you a fool if you think otherwise. That's all I wanted to say. But yeah, Cochran, after, you know, going on the, you know, offensive, looks down at Christopher Darden sitting in his seat with the most, you know, shame-faced, you know, look on his face, just totally embarrassed by Christopher Darden, like a father who has watched his son do something absolutely stupid. And he just looks at Darden and says, "Nigga, please." When I tell you I choked on my turkey burger that I was eating last night, y'all, I swear to God, I almost died. I mean, and granted, you know, that word that we've talked about, you know, the N-word on All Subjects Everything before. I've evolved on it. Like, I used to say, nobody should say it. Now I'm like, black people can say it if they want to, but nobody else should better say it. And the funny thing is, it's just about the people who are complaining they can't say the N-word. They don't want to use it in an endearing fashion as black people do. They don't. They really don't. And that was the point that Johnny Cochran pretty much drove home, that, okay, so one of your main witnesses is an avowed racist, and you're trying to tell the court they don't deserve to hear that? That was the beginning of the end for the prosecution. The absolute beginning of the end. And just the way, I mean, Johnny Cochran just absolutely humiliated Christopher Darden in a court of law. And it's just, I mean, it's just unfortunate that, you know, we're starting to get all of this stuff, you know, a good 20 years later. But it just looks like, you know, Darden is just, you know, a pathetic figure. A sympathetic figure, I should say. Like he's just along for the ride. Like, he's the black guy that the prosecution needed to try to, you know, stem the tide about this not being race. And then he's up against a master manipulator, mind game player in Johnny Cochran. Just ugly all around. And Cochran just kept, you know, putting the pressure on. Like, when they went to the house and OJ screamed at Chris Darden to get off his bench. Like, come on now. I mean, you know, you're under arrest. You're being held without bond for double murder. And you sitting here yelling at the prosecutor to get off your damn house bench. You can't tell me that's not a play by Johnny Cochran. You can't tell me it wasn't. And he was like, and he just leans in and talks to Darden and says, and Cochran does and says, "Don't do Furman. Let the white people do him." Like, he's just, Johnny Cochran in this miniseries, I don't know if that really went down the way it does, but I would assume it has, is that, you know, Johnny Cochran was so far in Chris Darden's head that Chris Darden should have been charging him rent. That is how, you, I mean, when you're a person that can, you know, sway people and get their minds moving in one direction or another, you know, that's mind control. That's mind games. That's, you know, playing on, you know, thoughts and emotions. And Johnny Cochran was the master at that, and, you know, during the OJ trial, and we're starting to see why. Like, you know, after he went home, Chris Darden was ranting on the phone to his father for 20 minutes about how he's supposed to be in charge, and, you know, that's after Johnny Cochran has pretty much embarrassed him through and through. All the way through. Amazing acting by Courtney B. Vance. Like, I just can't get over the way he's playing Johnny Cochran right now. Like, this is absolutely insane. Like, they couldn't have picked anybody better. They absolutely couldn't have picked anybody better with the acting chops, the look, and, of course, the way that he's just absolutely stepped into character. Down to the, you know, the circle glasses, the Whispers-esque mustache that Johnny used to have. I mean, Courtney B. Vance is doing a phenomenal job as Johnny Cochran in this miniseries. Flat out. You can't ask for anything better. You can't ask for anything better. Casting in general has been pretty good, you know, for this series. I mean, Rachel Paulson, who's playing Marsha Clark, actually makes Marsha Clark look cute. That's impressive. John Travolta with his, you know, plastic-sized face playing Robert Shapiro is pretty good. Whoever the guy playing Lancito is playing Lancito, and I should find out the name of the gentleman that's playing Chris Darden. Let me hit the Google real quick while I'm talking to you guys. Yeah, Sterling K. Brown. He's doing an amazing job as playing Christopher Darden. Everybody in this miniseries pretty much has done a fantastic job. Even homeboy Ross from Friends playing Bob Kardashian. You know, you really can't find too much fault with this casting other than the fact that Cuba Gooding Jr. is a good 6 inches shorter and probably about 30 pounds lighter than the real O.J. Simpson. That's about it. But that's small stuff. That's small potatoes. Overall, the series has been very entertaining, and of course now we're getting into trial mode. Furman's going to come to the stand, and that is going to be a funny situation. A funny, funny situation. As funny as it was in 1995, it's probably going to be even funnier in 2016. But there's not too much, you know, to complain about with this series. Like, it's touched on everything. Like, you know, the opening scene in this episode is Johnny Cochran driving his Benz through what he considers the white part of L.A., and he's stopped by the police and handcuffed in front of his daughters while he's the assistant district attorney. And all the white people that stood around and watched this man get handcuffed on the hood of his car and just looked away and looked down, that's what black people have been saying from the very beginning. Like, y'all just ignore racism when it's absolutely convenient for you, which is pretty much 99.9% of the time. Y'all benefit from it. Y'all profit from it. Y'all have privilege because of it. And that's pretty much, you know, without saying anything, Johnny Cochran looking at those people while he was handcuffed, bent over on the hood of a Mercedes-Benz, and white people in the food court start looking down, people walking by start looking away and walking away real fast. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Said everything without saying anything. That's the way the game goes. That's the way it's always going. But in general, that was, you know, a pretty good, you know, pretty good episode of the People vs. O.J. There really hasn't been a bad one yet. It's been kind of, you know, action-packed from the jump. So I'm interested to see what happens once we get into the trial, you know, the verdict. And I guess there might be an after, you know, an epilogue of sorts. But we'll find out once we get there. But so far, this has been very, very good. I'm very lucky that I haven't been scheduled for anything that would run over. Like last night, I had a game to cover that started at 7, and I was like, please don't go to overtime. Please don't go to overtime. Game was over by 8:30, which is unusual for high school basketball in the state of Delaware, I'm going to tell you. So for me to, you know, get in and get out in 90 minutes, get everything I need and be back in time to write a story, cook myself a late dinner, and watch People vs. O.J. was everything. Got to take care of yourself, people. You got to do the things you enjoy. And right now, the People vs. O.J. Simpson has brought me great joy. It's been funny. It's been, you know, real. It's just been must-see TV from the jump. And thankfully, next Tuesday, I don't have anything, so I'll probably be sitting there watching it with you guys again. On to the second portion, the second half of our show, and the last musical unsung for, I guess, probably this winter, spring, and possibly summer is tonight, and TV1 will be looking at a Chitlin' Circuit soul music stacks pioneer, the great late great Johnny Taylor. As you heard at the top of the set, top of the show, we played the first 2 minutes of his, I guess his biggest hit, you know, pop-wise anyway, was Disco Lady. And that, you know, is a legendary song in itself because it is the first platinum-selling single in the history of music. Which is pretty impressive. I mean, it came out 40 years ago this February. February 1976 is when Disco Lady was first released. It was produced by a gentleman by the name of Don Davis, who, of course, you know, brought Parliament Funkadelic to Detroit, did some Motown stuff, you know, in the early days. And he brought in some heavy hitters for, you know, Disco Lady. Bootsy Collins was on bass. Bernie Worrell, the Wizard of Woo, was on the keyboards. And Thelma Hopkins, who, of course, we all know from, you know, playing black mothers on television since the 1980s, actually was a great singer in Tony Orlando and Dawn, and she sang backup on Disco Lady. And that was, but that, you know, that was, you know, Johnny Taylor's breakout song that got him on, like, you know, Soul Train, American Bandstand, and all that good stuff. But he had songs before then. You know, his earliest hit, you know, was I Had a Dream in 1966, a good 10 years before Disco Lady. And then there's, of course, you know, some other great ones, I've Got to Love Somebody's Baby, and, of course, his breakout in 1968, Who's Making Love. And there's, you know, he's got other great ones, like, you know, Jody's Got Your Girl and Gone, and It's Cheaper to Keep It. Johnny Taylor was talking real life in his records. He was talking real life in his records, just, you know, from, you know, just from experience. And he's one of the Stax, you know, heroes of the day, you know, with the Isaac Hayes, the Staple Singers, Otis Redding, Booker T and the MGs. Like, if you've never watched the Stax documentary, Respect Yourself, it's a must-watch. It's absolutely a must-watch. You know, you find out about, you know, Steve Cropper, one of the greatest guitarists who ever lived, got his start at Stax. You know, how Isaac Hayes, you know, came about. You know, the Staple Singers, the Emotions were on Stax in the very beginning of their careers. You can't really put a label like that together like that anymore. You know, independently, you know, getting homegrown talent from the neighborhood as Stax was so often able to do. And when Stax fell apart in the 70s, honestly, that was more the end of the independent black record label than Motown, than Berry Gordy selling Motown in 1988 ever was. Because Stax, you know, while Motown, you know, defined an era and a sound, they kind of sort of, you know, got cookie cutter. And that's kind of like when Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder started, you know, asking for their lion's share of the, you know, creative responsibilities. By that time, by the 70s, by the time Marvin and Stevie had said, you know, enough is enough, it was kind of too late. Because Stax was taking over with that real gritty sound, and then right on the heels of Stax comes the sound of Philadelphia, who you can thank for disco, which people don't, but they really should. So Stax, you know, played a very important part in black music for a long time, and Johnny Taylor was, of course, one of the, you know, headlining acts on Stax Records. So, yeah, that's pretty much, you know, what you should look forward to tonight. And I think next week is when they start Unsung on Hollywood. I think I'm going to miss that, unfortunately. Because I have the girls' basketball semifinals. I've been, you know, commissioned to cover that by my local newspaper, which I'm looking forward to very much. So I may have to catch that on the flip. But that's going to be, finally, the episode where they give Joe Morton his props. You know, we know him as Papa Pope on Scandal. And some of us who are old school know him as Byron Douglas on A Different World. So definitely looking forward to watching Johnny Taylor's Unsung tonight, you know, catching up on some things and getting back to the freelance game, because I have 4 games in 5 nights. I have off tonight. I worked last night, working Thursday, Friday, snow permitting, and then then Saturday afternoon, evening. But it's all basketball, so I can't complain too much. But so, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, resting up with some TV today after I, you know, run these errands real quick. But tomorrow, what we're going to talk about tomorrow. I guess we'll recap the Johnny Taylor Unsung and then whatever's clever after that, because there's no Scandal or How to Get Away with Murder for the week. So we'll figure something out. Maybe we'll preview SmackDown. Maybe we'll talk some more about, you know, the road to WrestleMania, which is, of course, we talked about on Tuesday being just as fractured as ever. Well, there's a lot of stuff we'll discuss. You know, that's something, you know, we'll probably end up, you know, putting together as, you know, as the day progresses. Because I can imagine between now and 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, you know, something will... pop off. I can only imagine. So we'll figure something out. Clearly, I'm running out of room here. I'm probably going to go ahead and sign off now because, I mean, we got a good 15, 20 minutes of discussion, and we talked People versus OJ. We talked, how did I forget? Oh, yeah, we talked about Melissa Harris-Perry and Nerdland. Definitely wanted to finish that conversation. She let the chopper fly last night on Twitter. And what made me kind of, you know, makes me kind of mad about, you know, being a former journalist and having journalist friends on Facebook is how they are really playing the respectability angle about, you know, the emails about Melissa Harris-Perry being unpredictable and challenging, and, you know, this isn't the way to, you know, fall out after a job. Look, I've had 2 full-time journalism jobs. The first one, I worked for a raging racist who I could never do anything right for, even though I served a community very well. Still ended up getting fired. Came back home, worked for a newspaper chain for a year. Realized it wasn't where I wanted to be because the executive editor was a jackass and wanted me to obviously punch him in the mouth. It didn't happen because I quit. You give your all to a job, you know, no matter what it is, what you do, and for some people it'll never be good enough. And there's no easy way to leave a job, being fired, being laid off, or resigning, or just flat out quitting. It doesn't matter. Most people have, you know, just a, you know, professional pride in their work regardless of what it is. And I'm sure Melissa Harris-Perry had her, you know, had professional pride in everything she brought to Nerdland. And the people that, you know, she took along for the ride were people that MSNBC or no other network would obviously think of. I mean, one of her, you know, primary guest was a transgender woman, Janet Mock. I mean, she had the Black Lives Matter crew. I mean, the activists on Nerdland all the time. You know, black and other intellects of color that wouldn't get on other stations or other, you know, news outlets because they go for, you know, white intellects or the same 2, 3, or 4 black intellects that we've known for the last 35 years. So to say to Melissa Harris-Perry, you know, doesn't have anywhere to go and that she's cutting off her nose to spite her face is absolutely short-sighted. Absolutely short-sighted. She knows what she's doing. She has a career to fall back on, even if she never has another TV gig, but I got a feeling that she's going to have something just as equal to, if not better, than Nerdland in the future. I think she's just not tipping her hand. I think she's just firing shots on the way out the door because... But I still think she has something coming down the pike that, you know, I think will, you know, soothe the fears of the Nerdland crew and fans and crowd and movement. But boy, she went off yesterday talking about, you know, how, you know, non-disclosure agreements, you know, really can't hold her, and that, you know, it's matter over money or principle over money, whatever the hashtag she used was. And she, her last tweet on the matter, when she used Angela Bassett as Bernadine burning up her husband's car and walking away with the, with the cigarette toted high, was a not so thinly veiled reference at Donald Trump. MSNBC, y'all keep making cable great again, because, you know, Donald Trump's thing is make America great again. And Melissa says, y'all keep making cable great again. I'm going to keep being challenging and unpredictable. That's pretty, you know, ballsy stuff. You know, to take on NBC as a whole and say, it's obvious what you guys are doing, and I wasn't going for it. So, yeah, you can get rid of me, but you can't, I mean, you can get rid of me on the air, but you can't silence my voice. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. Some people say she's crazy. Some people say she's being unprofessional. Some people say she's being unreasonable. I say she's being who she is. And I'm saying, and that's a pissed off woman who gave her all to a job for 4 years only to be spitting, only have the spit in her face. Trust me. I know where she's coming from. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to All Subjects Everything today. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens, on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. We'll be back Thursday talking about, you know, whatever's going on. So until then, y'all be good or be good at it. I'm falling in love, but it's too late.